everyone, and welcome into the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Carson.
Let the record show that I was like, hey, Nick, are you ready? As he's like texting, I'm on it, and then like jumps out.
Right. Wait, funny. I'm here.
I was ready.
You crushed it. It's the We Don't Know Either podcast. We don't know a lot of things, hence the name of the podcast. But Carson is here. He's one of our trivia hosts, and he's out in the field hosting trivia, asking questions, giving people points.
All the points.
People seem to like you.
Yeah, most people, I think, like me. I'll go with
that's
that.
That's good.
You know what? There's probably less negative reviews coming into you and complaints than there are for the other hosts. It's about even, really.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
I mean, a lot of complaints, but less than the average.
You know, yeah. I mean...
You know, 30
you
versus 50.
You were thinking of something
50,
clever.
And I just didn't have anything. Yeah. But
sorry,
womp,
Carson.
Womp. It's but, okay.
That's okay. I'm happy that you could be back because it's more interesting when you're here. So you had a music fact last week about SNL. Do you want to start us off or do you want to go last? You can pick dealer's choice. Well, not dealer's choice because I'm the dealer, obviously. But Carson's choice as to when your fact will go.
Well, we'll go. I'll start this time because I have more music facts.
Music facts.
I mean, I'm all about the music facts.
Cool.
Doesn't hurt working at a radio station that, you know. So let's see here. Our music fact... For...
This is very much, I wanted to bring it, knowing you were coming today, I should have brought a music fact to see if I could stump you, because I think you've stumped us every time. well, last week you knew, but, you know.
Right, other than the fact that Nick got it right on the first try.
Well, we'll pretend that
totally stumped.
Okay, so, let's see here.
let's see here. I want to go first, but I'll make you wait.
I think I had to word this.
A dramatic buildup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which band was?
You want to come back?
Come back. I got to reword this.
I can go.
Sorry.
Carson was so confident, and you failed so miserably. Right. But
don't you're make
gonna,
fun of him.
Hey,
right.
I'm not making fun of him. What I'm saying is, this is going to be an epic comeback story.
That's right.
Because when he crushes it, which I believe that you will. It's going
to
be great.
I have a great fact. It's
you started from
how
the bottom.
To put it in the correct wording.
I just want to point out that at this point, the next time you have a problem with how a question is worded during a trivia night, think back to right now and see how hard it actually is to do it the right way. All right. My interesting fact, trivia.
Yeah.
We do a lot of trivia.
Yes.
Okay. So what year officially or unofficially, what year was the first trivia night, actual trivia night held. It was
what
held.
Year?
Yeah, it was held in southern England. It was a two people, Sharon Burns and Tom Porter, founded and organized 32 teams in three different leagues in southern England, and that was sort of unofficially the start of trivia night in bars.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So, what year did that happen?
So, what year was the first bar trivia night?
Oh, what did you say the organizers' names were?
Burns and Porter.
Oh, okay, now I know it.
Yeah.
go ahead, Michael.
I'm gonna say right around World War One.
World War One. Okay, so 1919.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say just for 1920. Just
okay,
to,
make it nice and even.
Yeah,
round number.
Round number.
I feel like it's earlier than that. I feel like it might have been a little bit earlier. So let's go with 1892. Just pick a random year.
1892.
Okay.
I'm realizing there might be a flaw in my logic.
Actually, the year my grandfather was born.
1892?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
That's what...
Is that real?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. He was born in 1892 in East City, Greece.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. The generations in my family are really messed up.
Wow. I was like, wow, 1892.
My grandfather was not the oldest in his generation. The oldest in his generation was 1889. And my brother, who is the youngest in my generation, so three generations, was 1988. So it was 99 years between the oldest of the grand set and the youngest of the current set. So
very interesting.
Yeah,
it's a very messed up family tree.
Fun fact.
Yeah, bonus fact. okay, I think that it is much older than both of those things.
I would like to change my answer.
Okay.
But go ahead.
I studied abroad, you know, in London. And if there's one thing that I took from studying abroad, it's that it's old. It's very, very old.
England or trivia?
Yeah.
Both. Yes.
Both.
Yes. The answer is yes. And so people have been drinking and also asking each other questions for centuries. So
yes,
I'm going to go.
This is like the official trivia night sort of beginnings. But yeah.
Official trivia night beginnings.
Well,
I think
that's
I'm
just, you know, sitting in a bar in ancient Egypt asking them, hey, what do you think of the Nile this year? That's not a trivia night.
Right, for sure. But I think that it's like turn of, well, I'll say, I'm going to say 1710.
1710.
Yeah, I think it was predates America.
So you think trivia is going on its 310th anniversary?
I do.
Okay.
I doubt that they called it trivia night.
Okay.
Yeah, they called it old.
Are you telling? Are they branding it? Yeah, like are they branding it trivia night? Then
right.
You know, do they have posters and things like that? You know.
Round one, question number one: what is the best way to burn a witch?
Yeah. Okay, but I'll stick with my answer: 1710.
1710. All right, Michael.
Yeah. See, I wanted to go even earlier than that. Though I was going to say like 1680s.
1680 was my first thing, and then I talked myself out of it.
I'm going to go ahead and take it then.
1680 sounds like a better answer.
You're group thinking right now.
Well, no, because it's in Oxford. I've studied abroad in London, and we went to Oxford.
We have that in common.
And Oxford is like where the oldest like pub in England or something
is
in Oxford, and it's way, way old. Like it's
really old, yeah.
It's really old. So assuming that it could have happened there, that could push it back even before 1680.
That's true. I did not study abroad at Oxford.
But no, I
studied in London.
No, I studied in London. We just took a day trip to Oxford.
Yeah, he said he went to Oxford.
Oh, I thought you meant like you went to Oxford.
No,
and I was like, wow, cool.
No, no, we just took a day trip there. But like that was part of the day trip. We went to this like pub that was really ancient. So I'm thinking, I have to change my answer. It could be even older than that. So,
So you're going pre-1680.
Yeah, so we'll throw it way back and we'll go, because I originally said 1892, so we'll go 1592.
Whoa,
like
1592?
Yeah.
When Columbus sailed the ocean blue?
Yeah, yes. The centennial of the Magna Carta.
What up?
All right, so we're good. We've got, you want to review your guesses since
1710.
1680.
1592.
1976.
Dang it.
Was the origin of the pub quiz.
I talked myself out of a winning answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I win.
So yeah, Burns and Porter organized their quiz league with 32 teams in 1976. In 1986, they were awarded Britain's Most Efficient Business Award.
Oh.
Which would
be a very British award, I think.
Yeah. I would love to talk to them because efficiency, not this company's strong suit.
Rude. Rude.
I don't know about that. Production's on point.
So is this podcast. So
yeah.
Yeah, Carson. Yeah. It's always good when the CEO poops on everybody else.
All I said was the company doesn't run that efficiently.
Okay, so negative vibes aside.
There's your secret phrase.
Negative vibes
aside.
Perfect. Negative vibes aside. I guess I'll go next.
Go for it.
Speaking of bars, I'm letting my fact kind of flow with what we're talking about. One of my favorite drinks is a Dirty Shirley. You ever have it?
Yes, it's delicious.
Grenadine,
Sprite, and vodka. Yes,
because
I don't know why I love it. I just love sugar, really, in anything.
We need the cherry, too. The cherry.
Obviously the cherry, yeah. Which leads me to my next question. So the original grenadine syrup, which is used to make Shirley Temples, mm-hmm. what was the juice? What was the fruit juice in the original grenadine?
Cherry, wasn't it?
That's my question.
Well, then that's a clear no. That was met with a deafening silence.
That was my question.
I'm waiting for Carson to give his answer because I'm confident.
Oh, confident.
In mine, I'm going to say.
I really don't know, so on a whim, I'm going to say grapefruit.
Grapefruit. Interesting.
That's a
good
guess. Pomegranate.
Pomegranate is correct. Yeah. I read this and my mind was blown. I was like, this is unbelievable. I love pomegranate. And now one of my favorite things has, pomegranate.
Yay. Something that you absolutely loved for years, you just found out had something else that you love in it.
Yeah, well, it's the same love. Yeah.
Right.
And so
it's like opening up a banana and finding two bananas.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I guess. I don't know. But what's interesting about this, I did a lot of research about grenadine and its history in the United States. Like pomegranates only came to California like late 19th century. And there were court cases all the way up to the New York Supreme Court in 1872, some guy sued another guy because he was marketing this pomegranate grenadine syrup, and some other guy comes in and he's like, oh, you're going to have grenade syrup. It's the same thing. And the guy that was selling the grenades syrup said, well, you know, like, that's grenade's the French word for pomegranate. And, you know, like, people don't necessarily think that it's that. So they go through this whole court case and they were like, this guy was just trying to lie to the American people.
That pomegranates are French.
No, that
what his, was I missed what syrup, the lie was.
His syrup didn't contain any pomegranates in it, but he was trying to lie to the people. Yeah, I know. Ridiculous.
Right.
A big, huge court case
about
it.
Fake news.
Yeah. So it was well calculated to deceive the public is what the judges said about it. And the injunction was denied to make him stop selling it. So
interesting. I wonder what judges would think today about current judges.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. And like the government at one point seized some juice in the turn of the 20th century because it didn't have enough pomegranates in it. And then they decided that people didn't really know what pomegranates were. It's a whole big thing.
Right. Well, that's now with the FDA has all of the, like, you can't call something juice or what is it? Fruit Loops? F-R-O-O-T?
Yes.
Yeah. Because it doesn't actually contain
any
fruit.
Well, that's what this was. They said that it's not really a fruit syrup. It's more something with like a citric acid so they can, you know, market it forever. So
it's fruity.
Yeah, exactly. And
fruit,
I mean, the
adjacent.
The yeah. grenadine today does not have any fresh pomegranate juice in it. It's all just high fructose corn syrup.
I was going to say, but it's like 92% sugar.
Yeah, it's just all like food coloring and sweeteners and artificial sweeteners. So. Yeah.
Delicious,
whatever.
Though.
Delicious.
Well, and grapefruit is, that's an acid, right? So,
yeah.
Yes. Good. There we go.
Good guess by you.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that you said did come into what one of the things that Lindsay said.
Yeah. Segue. Michael, you want to go next?
I do.
Cool.
So, this is coming out of my good friends, University of California, San Diego. Go Tritons. So, this is according to...
What is a Triton?
Triton. God of the sea.
Triton. Got it.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
Tritons have tridents.
That's singular, though, not plural.
It's the school mascot.
Yeah, no, I get it, but that's... It's
my
like,
alma mater.
It's like, yeah, it's my alma mater, the Lone Rangers. It doesn't make sense to pluralize things that are singular.
The Lone Rangers, that actually, yeah, okay, that's yeah. That's throwing me off. I was like, no, but if there's more than one, then they're not lone.
Exactly. Yep.
Nope.
Okay.
Doesn't work with right. that.
Go ahead, anyway. Michael. What is your question?
It's a question from your alma mater.
Yes. This is according, like I said, this is according to a study they did. How many calories does donating a pint of blood burn? So if you were to donate a pint of blood, how many calories do you burn?
We learned this lesson many moons ago where we talk about what is the category of our fact before we get on the episode to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Michael and I had the same interesting fact. So I got a bunch of background stuff for you.
Wonderful.
Which I will come in after you guys guess. You got to say something.
No,
Nick, you get to go.
Yeah.
You can't wait and then change your answer based on everybody else. You go.
What?
I mean, I literally have no idea. This is.
So, okay, so the average adult, I have donated blood a couple of times.
Oh, good for you. I wasn't allowed because I studied abroad in London. They were worried I had mad cow disease. Come in full circle.
Whoa, there you go.
You know what? It's been a number of years since you studied in London. I'm still slightly concerned about that.
Last time I did, when I did semester at sea, I tried to come back and give blood. They were like, you were just in Africa, right? Yeah, no. Can't. Thanks for trying.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know when they give you blood, they shove you full of like sugars and juices and
grenadine,
all kinds of stuff.
Grapefruit juice, grapefruit.
Yeah.
Let me chug this real quick.
Yeah, orange juice and cookies. And I know they when I had it, they're like, no, take some more. Like after I had my juice and my cookies, they're like, have another one.
Oh.
Like you need more calories. So it's an average adult, 2,000 calories. I'm going to say it's a third of that. So I'm going to say it's like 650 calories.
Okay. I'm going to go higher because that's why they give you all the cookie stuff. Because they're worried they don't want you to pass out. So let's go with 900.
900.
Wow, that's a lot.
All right, and Lindsay, you know the answer, so you're not going to guess, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Here's what's frustrating about Nick. He has these thumb-in-the-air, like, estimates.
Yeah.
He hit it on the nose. It's right, 650
calories.
Is it
exactly 650 calories?
Yeah. So approximately 650 calories by donating a pint of blood. But he does this all the time. He's like, oh, so you got this? You got what? 4 cases of paper. And I go like 3 and 4 reams, or just like it's so freaking close.
Yeah. This is the bottom line is never doubt me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now
says the man who can get from Bethesda to Leesburg in 23 minutes.
I have gotten from Bethesda to Leesburg.
It's impossible.
That's flying.
No, it's impossible. So the interesting thing about this is it's not the actual act of giving the blood that burns the calories. It's your blood replacing that, right? So it's that. That
the process.
Process
to recreate more.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's interesting that human beings have only 10 pints of blood in their body. And what I didn't realize is that when you do donate blood, it's about 10% of your total blood store, which I thought was super interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I actually talked to somebody that said that you have to donate blood because we were talking to a group of people at a bar one night two decades ago. That it was like, oh, I'm never donating blood. I'm not doing that, like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, you have to donate blood because what happens if you get hurt and you need it back? And we're like, well, you know, the person was like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, you have to contribute to the whole in order to get something back out of it. And they're like, no, they save your blood and they put your blood back in your body. She didn't realize that the blood constantly produces more blood. She thought that donating blood meant they saved it for you.
Oh.
And that if you ever got hurt, you would be getting your blood.
Oh, that's kind of
hang on, that's Mark. We have Mark's blood on file.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, you know, she would see like the people with like the coolers with the biohazard, and that was carrying your blood that you donated in Philadelphia out to you in Northern California where you needed it.
Oy.
That'd be like creepy too, like you get 25-year-old blood when 25-year-old blood when you're like 50, and it's like, throw it back.
Ugh.
Yeah. So,
I would like to say if you can give blood, go ahead.
Yeah,
please
it's a
do.
Good thing.
Yeah.
Not just for the weight loss.
Yeah, like if you want to lose weight, go get some blood.
It actually does say this should not be used as a weight loss plan by any means.
Yeah, because I mean, really though, that's only.
Does it really say that?
It really does. Like it's right here. But it should not be thought of as a weight loss plan by any means.
I have a bonus follow up fact, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So you give a pint of blood when you donate. How much does that weigh? How much weight do you lose on average? A pint of blood weighs how much?
What do you want it in? Kilograms?
Pounds?
Pounds.
Okay, so let's do some math here.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is a pint of water?
How much does a pint of water? Well,
how much does a baby weigh? And then take 75% of the baby's weight.
So let's go a gallon of milk.
Okay.
Probably weighs 2.5 pounds.
I bicep curl them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are three pints in a gallon, 4 pints in a gallon. People who studied abroad in London.
4 pints in a gallon.
That's four quarts in a gallon.
Yeah, that's 4 quarts. So wait, how many?
And I thought it was 2 pints to a quart.
Oh, interesting.
It's 2 pints to a quart?
I thought.
Wow, this is embarrassing. Yeah. We should move
on
past this.
A pint is why? No,
we don't know either.
Wait, that's what the name.
All right, I'm going to say it's about a third of a gallon of milk, so I'm going to say it's less than a pound. It's 14 ounces.
14 ounces. Nice.
So she wanted it in pounds, and you gave it in ounces.
Well, that's the subset of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just clarifying.
Don't you make me agree with Nick. Go ahead.
So, let's see here. So, you lose a half pound. Yeah, I'll go with a half a pound.
Half pound?
All right.
That would be 8 ounces.
Thank you. 1 pound.
Michael, you got it.
What up?
1 pound. 1 pound of blood on average. And if you were...
Gold star for you.
Yeah, and if you were interested in other activities, because I was like, all right, 650, like, I always, whenever I work out and I look at what the calories that you actually burn are, I'm always surprised at how little it seems. I'm like, oh, dang it, that muffin was 200 calories and I only burned 200. So 650 calories is equivalent to about an hour of cardio. Rock climbing for 30 minutes, this is on average of 155-pound person, adult. You burn 430 minutes. If you do a breaststroke, it's 372 in a minute. Cross-country skiing, I couldn't read my writing for a second. Cross-country skiing is only about 330 minutes.
Yeah, no.
So you really don't.
I don't know what kind of cardio you're doing, but I don't get anywhere near that in an hour.
I mean, intense.
It's intervals.
Intense elliptical.
Yeah, intense
elliptical.
Yeah, I don't know how you make that.
Elliptical.
Ellipticizing?
Ellipticizing? What's jazzercising? Intense jazzercising. Yeah. That's how you burn the calories.
After an hour of intense jazzercising, 1,000 calories. Yes.
All right. Redemption tour.
Okay. Let's pull this up.
Redemption. Carson, we're believing in you. Do not let us down.
No pressure.
I mean, they have no pressure in the sense that there's all the pressure in the world.
No, I wrote it. I figured out how to write it down.
Your invitation next week
depends
on the balance.
Yeah.
Ooh, well then, this is a great fun fact. What? was the first band to have a song debut on the Hot 100, Billboard Hot 100, by download sales only.
Oh.
What was the first band
to
have the first premiere by downloads only? So this is a recent thing.
So
one would think.
I have a guess.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because you said downloads, not digital purchases.
Well, when I say downloads, I mean digital purchase. Like someone went. Okay.
You too, because it was on all of
those. That's exactly
Apple.
What I was thinking.
So it's
because they made you have it.
They made you download.
But this is the first time. I'm looking for the first time this happened. So the very first time a song debuted on the Hot 100 based on download sales only. So enough people bought the song that it.
Anybody else hear that? It was earlier than you two.
Right.
He's like, I'm talking before you two. It's like perfect.
Well, that Apple thing was a couple years.
I now have more information.
Before the U2 thing on Apple, right. Not before U2.
Well,
we don't know.
After we take some initial guesses, I will give you some more background to help you out. But
so it's a band.
Yes, it is a band.
Okay, I was gonna guess like Chainsmokers or something super recent.
No.
But clearly I am wrong. So before that, so I'm thinking like mid to 2010s, right?
Can we get
Eight
a genre?
Oh, genre. That's a good question.
Okay. So
so no.
So it is a rock band. They're definitely a rock band, and I'll give you the year too, because the year this happened was in 2003.
So All American Rejects.
Nope.
Oh.
So very similar to...
Linkin Park.
Nope.
Good Charlotte. No, I'm just... I don't know. Offspring. Aerosmith. I don't know.
So to give you some more...
Wait, you think 2003 and you think Aerosmith?
Well, no, because they...
Because they don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah. I don't know. They always are... They always... Whenever there's an interesting music thing, like, who didn't have number ones, usually Aerosmith's an answer.
Aerosmith was big early 2000s with that Jaded song, so...
Yeah, exactly.
But to give you some more information.
Nine Lives is a much better album.
So this song, let's see here. It entered in March 2003 is when it entered the charts. It only peaked number 80, but the band still got a song to...
Peaked at number 80.
Yeah, so it wasn't a big hit for the band, but it still people downloaded it. And iTunes didn't actually exist till April 2003. So this was pre-iTunes.
Whoa, pre-iTunes.
And looking at your 2003 year in music, the number one song in the country when this happened this week was In the Club by 50 Cent.
Yeah.
And your other big songs that week were Jennifer Lopez's All I Have and Kid Rock's and Sheryl Crow's Picture.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Those were your big songs, but we're looking for a band.
I am looking, because similar to U.S. Presidents, I have, like, there's that obscure band, like, that always has, like, those odd things happen.
Jimmy Eat World.
Is it Beck?
Nope.
Okay.
That's a good guess, but you're right. Like, there is a lot of trivia around Beck.
Exactly. It's like, the only band, didn't they just put out a new album that's all just
Blink
sheet 182.
Music?
Yeah.
No, and this is actually in the Guinness Book of World Records, too. It made it there. That's where I got the fact from.
Green Day.
Nope. So the trick about this is actually an older band, because if you think about it, iTunes...
The Bee Gees.
Aerosmith.
Because the iTunes didn't exist yet, so
is it
like...
the Stones?
Parents were probably going and buying the track, because before iTunes... You weren't kids.
Right. There was no iPod.
The Beatles?
There was nowhere to play it.
Was it the Beatles?
Was it the Rolling Stones?
The B-52s?
They had that Rough Justice album right about that time.
Nope.
Tom Petty.
Give us another hint.
So this will give it away, but the band's been came in the news recently. Like, they've been in the news the past couple weeks.
Florence and the Machine. Oh, wait, no, that's not 2003.
Insane Clown Posse.
No.
think of another band.
Miller Band.
No, it's another band that gets the letter F. You were so close. I thought you were going to get it.
Foo Fighters.
Stone Temple Pilots?
The F.
Oh, with the letter S.
F. F. Because she said Florence. Yeah. I was like, no.
Foo Fighters. Five for Fighting.
In the news recently, Nick.
Naming bands that start with F. What
they've
are you
like been in the news the past couple weeks because they fired someone.
They fired someone. Oh my gosh. I don't know.
Okay.
Just tell us.
It's Fleetwood Mac.
Dang it. That's who I was thinking of.
You're actually, thought you were going to say, and then you
Stevie,
said Florence.
Yeah, and then you said Stevie Miller Band.
Yeah, I was like, she's so close.
Stevie Nicks.
No, that's.
Stevie Nicks was what you were looking for.
That's what I was looking for, and it just didn't come to my brain. And honestly, when I said Steve Miller Band, I was thinking and picturing Fleetwood Mac in my head, which is very bad, and I know that, but music is not my wheelhouse, and I am sorry. I did not mean to offend.
What was the song?
So the song is called Peacekeeper.
Okay.
It's from their 2003 album called say you will. And so the song was $1.49 at FleetwoodMac.com, and there was 1,500 downloads in the first week. And so because so many people downloaded it, and that because there was no iTunes, you couldn't, there was nowhere else to go
right.
buy music online, that it charted number, let's see here, it entered at like 97, I believe, and then it reached, eventually peaked number 80 in May of 2003, that's all it reached, but it was being played on adult contemporary radio stations, so older audiences found it and checked it out.
Huh.
That's awesome. I'm still really mad at myself, so I had it.
Way to recover, Carson.
Yeah, Carson, we're going to invite you back next week. I think that you earned it. You guys agree?
Yeah.
And fun fact, too, the second time this happened where a song entered the Hot 100 based on people downloading and purchasing the song was Madonna's American Life.
Oh, bonus fact.
Yeah, so that was the second time it happened. But that was once iTunes was a thing. So people, she was releasing a new album, and people were like, Madonna, she's huge. We're interested in her song. We're interested in her song. We're going to go download it. And it peaked at number 37, so people liked it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, Carson, you've redeemed yourself. We knew that you would. I never doubted you for a second.
Well, thank you.
This is the We Don't Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Carson.
Oh, shoot. I forgot. In the moment, I messed up the ending.
You were looking right at him. Michael.
Nick.
Carson.
We don't know either. Bye.
Bye.